Charlie Jacobson. Friday's game will be on Lunaway TV and 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning as we welcome back to Inside the Cave, John Borton from the Wolverine magazine. And John, it's been kind of a busy week for you and a lot of folks in the media, keeping track of what's going on with Jim Harbaugh and the continuing saga. What's your take on this whole thing?
Well, Pat, first of all, it is good to be back in the cave, and nice to be getting ready for another football season. As far as Jim Harbaugh is concerned, we kind of thought that that was put to rest, for at least for this season, when, you know, the word had come out that, okay, Michigan and the NCAA had agreed to disagree, and they were going to settle all this later. And then Michigan comes forward with the three-game suspension that it's self-imposing on its head football coach. And it's really one of those things that I was surprised about, because I thought, all right, they've decided that they're going to wait on this thing. But Ward Manuel comes through with the announcement that Jim Harbaugh will be suspended for those opening three games. And, my questions about it are this. What was Jim Harbaugh's internal reaction to it? And I have a sense that he probably doesn't like it, certainly, but he's going along with it for the sake of the team and to get this out of the way for now. But the other one is, you know, why do you do it if, in fact, the NCAA isn't signing off on it? If you didn't know that the NCAA was going to say, okay, now you're good, but instead is going to say, no, we're going to have to revisit this. It doesn't make as much sense to me. I got some input from some other people that said they think this might still end up being it, that the NCAA will just let it go after the season. But, you know, it's it really kind of came out of the blue on Monday.
Well, it seems to be to me that Ward Manuel probably wanted to get ahead of this thing, because this has a lot of implications as far as recruiting is concerned, and probably wanted to put this thing to bed for forever.
Yeah, and I can see that, but the problem is they didn't put it to bed completely. I mean, they certainly, it's a good faith effort on Michigan's part to say, okay, here's, we'll give a little. But when you have the NCAA saying, no, that's not good enough in the case of Jim Harbaugh, and I really believe that the NCAA still wants Jim Harbaugh to say, yeah, I misled you, which he's not about to say. So, you know, I get that you want to put it away, but unless the NCAA has a real change of heart, it's not put away. One thing that was pointed out to me was that, the NCAA, Michigan being on the brink of what is expected to be a really, really outstanding season, maybe Michigan wants to sort of lay down a marker for the fact that, you know, we're trying to do the right thing here, so that in case that, say, Michigan wins the national championship, that it wouldn't catch something from the NCAA really starting out with secondary violations that would impact that, the championship trophy, those sorts of things.
John, John Kane here. In my mind, the three-game suspension, is it tantamount to an admission of guilt?
I would say, if you're Jim Harbaugh, no. because he has maintained. We heard him down in Indianapolis. He says, I can't talk about this. I'd love to. I can't. I will when I can. Nothing to be ashamed of, all that sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you're Michigan, do you make this if you don't think that there was something wrong? And there were secondary violations that were charged. We all know about the infamous burger for the visiting recruits that popped in. And we know about a Zoom session watching an athlete work out at a time that you weren't supposed to, but that was really, in reality, done as a favor to a young man that isn't in great physical condition because of the disease and that would probably never play in college. So, I don't know. I don't think that if you're Jim Harbaugh, it is at all an admission of guilt, and I think that he may carry a little bit of an edge into when he does come back. And let me remind everybody of the fact that, okay, suspended for the first three games, he's not saying bye to the team and we'll see you when the Big Ten starts. No, he's going to be there coaching every single day, in practice, doing everything he would do, except on Saturday he won't be on the sideline.
So, John, do you think the NCAA, with the three-game suspension by Michigan, they have a choice? They either say, okay, this is good enough and we're going to walk away, or do they say, well, if they were willing to give him a three-game suspension, maybe we need to dig into this even more?
I don't think that's the case, because I think the NCAA knows or believes it knows thoroughly what the facts are. I think there's just a fundamental disagreement on how upfront Jim Harbaugh was with them when he said he didn't recall the incident with the burgers. And so, you know, they're, you know, we get this every single week of the year in political news. I do not recall that sort of thing. And, you know, the NCAA, let's face it, is in a power crisis, because they have for years been either powerless or disinterested in hitting the really big cheaters of college football. Even before NIL came along, you had the big-time procurers of talent that did so by nefarious means. And we all knew about them. We knew who they were. And the NCAA either gave slaps on the wrists or didn't do anything. But now we're in an era where lots of people are regarding the NCAA as increasingly irrelevant. And I think that, you know, when they get onto something that they think they can flex a little bit, and certainly Michigan's a big name, they're trying to do so.
Well, we've heard, you know, as far as recruiting is concerned, we've heard that there's a possibility that Michigan may lose a couple of players. The Smith brothers may be transferring out of Michigan. Any word on that?
Yeah, I did hear that. I think that's probably going to take place, but that doesn't, I don't necessarily tie it to this. Recruiting, as you well know, Pat, that's one of those things, until they sign the name on the dotted line, everything is up in the air. And I'm not, I won't say that there's anything that is under the table or underhanded involved in this situation. I do know this. I will tell you this. In the era of NIL, Michigan had a big-time starter on the defense that was approached in the offseason and told, hey, you transfer down south to us, you will be well into the six figures in terms of what we're going to pay you, and closing in on seven figures. So, I mean, there's a lot of schools. Michigan won't do it, won't make those NIL promises, big cash promises to recruits. Others will.
That's for sure. Well, we know Harbaugh will be out for the first three games. Also, Sherrone Moore and Grant Newsom, they're suspended for one game. And, you know, Sherrone Moore is the offensive play caller. And who's going to take his place in the first game?
I would guess it would be Jim Harbaugh's favorite word when you start asking him about play calling, a collaborative effort. And but you know, if Moore is out, you're going to have a combination of different people. Certainly Mike Hart comes to mind. Michigan's other position coaches on offense will have a say in what goes on. But I think that that will be one of those situations where they may designate a certain guy, but they're all involved in it. They're all involved in Jim Harbaugh will be intimately involved in the preparation for all this. So they may have their opening plays, 15, 20 plays scripted out, things that they wish to do, and then you react to that.
John, just shifting gears here a little bit, something, of course, that the head coaches and the athletic directors are looking at very closely, something that I think we probably knew was going to crop up eventually, and I'm talking about the situation in Iowa. And with they're investigating players gambling on games.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean,
but that was something we know that's going to crop up. I mean, maybe this is the first time we've heard it, but that's something that everyone is going to have to be on the alert for, right?
Oh, I would say so, and it's got to be one of your highest alert priorities if you're a college football program, because if there's any hint of a situation that could become non-competitive because of someone actually having money on a game, then all of the belief in the validity of the competition goes out the window. Okay, if my favorite running back is going to go down 3 yards short of the goal line, if he's got a bundle of money on the other team, you know, you lose the sport. And we've seen that concern for years and years in pro sports because of the amount of money that can be involved there. And we all remember Pete Rose and him saying he never bet on anybody but his own team, and it didn't matter. He's still on the outside looking in at the Hall of Fame and got that big suspension. If you're an athletic director, if there's all that NIL money out there, if you know that people are willing to invest to see a certain outcome, then that's got to be an absolute top priority. This can't be. This can't happen in our program. And if we get any hint of it, then we'll shut you down. You'll be gone, and you will be. And I can say for a fact, I know that the Michigan players are sat down every year before the season in camp when they're talking about a number of things to watch out for, that this does definitely gets addressed.
All right. Michigan announced a signing with Peloton this week, and also some new lighting for Michigan Stadium. Quite an improvement there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We see the lights that Michigan is installing, and I guess you really want to have good lighting, because it seems like they want every other game to be a night game, if not more than that.
Yeah.
Because we've all seen that situation develop, and you mentioned the Peloton getting in on the Michigan name and that forming that partnership, and didn't even mention the humongous scoreboard.
Yeah.
That are going to be part of that scene at Michigan Stadium. So we thought that they were big before. Wait till you get there, and wait till you look up and see all of what is taking place, way larger than life, on Michigan scoreboards.
All right. Well, John, first of all, I want to say congratulations on a great football magazine that you put out, I think, mid-July. And, boy, it's got everything but the kitchen sink in there as far as Michigan football is concerned. And congratulations on that issue.
Well, thanks a lot. Take a lot of pride in that. We did the first one in that format way back in 1997 with Charles Woodson in the shaded helmet on the cover. And we really appreciate the fact that people love that particular issue.
And tell us, John, how folks can get a hold of the Wolverine magazine.
Absolutely. Folks can dial in the following number, 800-421-7751, and they can get hooked up with the magazine. And make sure you visit us every day at our on3.com site and go to the Wolverine.
All right. Thank you very much, John. And next week, we'll talk about East Carolina coming up in another week. It's not long.
Yeah, it sure isn't, right? Coming down the tracks. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, everybody, for this time. I'm looking forward to a great season.
All right. Thanks a lot. John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine here on Inside the Cave this morning. And we'll be back with our final edition right after these messages.
What is a day of hope? It's a day